A few moments ago, we were singing a song during praise of the pre-service worship. And you can be turning over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And that song is entitled Healer. You hold my every moment, you calm my raging seas, you walk with me through fire and heal all my disease. I trust in you, I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you're all I need. Whenever Jamie lets me know what pre-service worship sets we'll be doing, I don't go through the songs. And I don't have them memorized. So I really did not remember that this particular song was in this set. Because tonight I'm going to be ministering on healing. Here, a few weeks ago, it wasn't a long time, but I ministered along the lines of us being physically ready for a revival. And it had to do with, like, our eating habits, do we need to lose weight, and so forth, because revival places a lot of physical demands on people. Well, tonight I'm going to be talking about, well, the title is Healed for Revival. See, I'm guessing every one of us in here, and I'm only guessing, we're facing some kind of a physical something. Now, I don't know what that is. And it's really irrelevant what it is. Because, you know, God created the universe, He created the human body, so it doesn't matter what a doctor tells you. God is your healer. Well, see, a little bit ago we were singing that, but the question is, do we believe it? Do we really believe it? In Psalm 103, look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. See that? His benefits. In other words, this is something that He does. I believe you're my healer. He healeth all thy diseases. Now, that word healeth, it comes from the Hebrew word rapha, which is talking about healing. Now, the question is, do you believe that? Now, some people might say, yeah, but, you know, that's Old Testament. That's under the law. Okay, why don't you just read through this entire psalm? And you're going to find out this isn't, all right, fine, under the law. So you're telling me that God healed people under the law, but He doesn't heal people washed in the blood of Jesus. I mean, is that what you're saying? Are you telling me that somewhere along the line God changed and became someone different? He heals. See, He healed all their diseases under the law, but He still heals. But this is not complicated. He still does it. He is still the healer. In Psalm 105, turn over there. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, this is speaking specifically of when God brought Israel out of Egypt. I understand that. However, where He says here that He brought them forth also with silver and gold, we're not going to get into the whole aspect of, you know, like prosperity, okay? But in Jesus Christ, we have the silver and the gold, the imagery. But we're not looking at that. What we're looking at is the healing aspect of it. When He brought them out of Egypt, there was not one feeble among their tribes. Not one feeble person. Now, that word feeble, it comes from the Hebrew word kashal, and it implies, yeah, I mean, physical healing, okay, there's an imagery there. But what's interesting is that it also creates the image of an elderly person no longer acting elderly. Do you understand what I mean? Yeah, yeah. But you old people in here, you ought to be rejoicing, glory to God.
Glory.
Yeah, glory. Now, I'm just going to like sound off here for a moment. One of the things that gripes me, it didn't used to, but it does now, old Christians who bellyache about their bodies. Well, I'll tell you what, shooey. You know, if it weren't for and I've got and it is and who doggy, I tell you what, every morning I wake up, it's the same thing. I'm blessing God if I can just move my head, let alone get out of bed. Now, that's not that much of an exaggeration in some cases. If you're born again, you should be pathetically ashamed of yourself for talking like that. Because if he's going to lead all the old people out of Egypt and not one of them is going to be feeble, guess what? There's no reason to be a feeble old billy goat today. None. Stop fussing about your body. Now, you say, well, you're just being harsh. Now, wait a minute. Those people that got led out of Egypt, didn't they end up having to do a whole lot of walking? Oh, yeah. Feeble people can't walk a whole lot of walking. They needed to be defeebled. Now, if God would do that to those folks, what about us? What about us? Well, you're telling me that when you get older, you know, nothing goes... Now, hold on here. I understand. These bodies have not been glorified. But theirs hadn't been glorified either. So for us today, stop fussing about your body. What it just amazes me. And sometimes I want to get rude, but I don't. When I get around elderly people, you know, what is it they call it? Mature adults? And they start, you know, telling war stories. What's going on with their bones? How's your rheumatism? Oh, it's spread. It's all the way up in my hair. They just talk about their stuff, you know? And in my emotions, I just want to say, why don't the bunch of you shut up? Or I just walk away. Because I don't want to hear it. I don't want that junk sown into my life. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to run through a troop, leap over a wall. See, you can't be feeble and serve God in revival. You don't want, I mean, you're going to have to sit on the sidelines. So, yeah, every one of us in here, we're getting older. And I understand, age 70 years old, maybe you can't run the way you did when you were 20. I get it. But there's no reason to be feeble. You know what I'm saying here? No reason to be feeble. None. You need to develop the vision. No matter what your age is right now, develop the vision of yourself living beyond 100 years old and not being feeble. There's some guy, I read about it the other day, some guy 45 years old. He's on a college football team. Anybody else see that? Yeah, 45 years old. He's on a college football team. Married. His son is on the team. Seriously. There's no reason for us to claim feebleness. Look in Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Look here in verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now again, I understand in the setting, this is making reference to, the Jews. But, you telling me that God's word has lost its healing power? Seriously? I mean, do you not think that the word still has power? You better believe it does. So the word that he sent, alright, remember what God said? I didn't write this verse down, but he said, you know, when my word goes forth from my mouth, it accomplishes what I send it forth to do, and it doesn't return unto me void. So now, I want you to get a hold of this. Though we can't see it, how many of you know that right now in this room, there are radio waves going through here? And if you've got a radio, all you have to do is turn it on, and you're going to hear the radio. Because the radio waves are going through here. TV waves are going through here. Internet waves are going. There's all kinds of stuff in this room right now, but you can't see it. You know what else is in this room? The Word of God. He spoke it, and it's in here right now. That Word is in here. The healing Word is in here, and it won't return void. So just think about it like this, man. His healing words are just kind of floating around in here. Just waiting for somebody to reach up and boom, appropriate them. Now, I'm in this too, okay? I'm right along with you. So I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just letting you know we need to be prepared for when we stand before God and the subject of healing comes up and He looks at us and says something like, you know, you sang that song where you said that you believed that I was your healer, but how come you didn't believe it? I mean, I've got healing power. It was alive down there the whole time. Like, you get it, what I'm saying? I'm guilty, all of us here, all right? But that's got to change. We need to be healed going into revival. We don't need to be in revival and having to make phone calls like, well, you know, my, you know, Sasquatch syndrome, it's acting up again. I can't be there. Oh, I'm going to be laid up for a few days. We've actually had people call, like on a Thursday, and say, well, I won't be there on Sunday because I'm sick. It's like, what? That's weird. You're calling me on Thursday and telling me God can't heal me by Sunday. That's weird. It makes sense to you. Actually, I think when people say that, they might not just be one a coming. You know what I'm saying? But then I could be totally wrong on that. But to call on a Thursday and say, well, I won't be there on Sunday because I'm not feeling too good. You just told me a whole lot about how much you trust God and how much you believe His Word. He sent His Word, healed them. Now look at this. Delivered them from their destructions. All right, let me ask you. What do you feel like is destroying your body? Well, the doctor told me I got high blood pressure. Well, the doctor told me I got this. The doctor told me I got that. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for doctors. I mean that. I mean it. But man, you've got a more sure word of prophecy. And God, through His Word, has prophesied your healing. It's not wrong, you know, the whole doctor thing. That's not wrong at all. See, I guess when it comes to like going to a doctor, for me, I don't want to walk or like try to move or whatever it is with bad pain for 5 years. I don't want to. I'll go to a doctor and I'll let the doctor say, well, it's, you know, whatever the whatever. And I'll listen to what the doctor has to say, because if my faith isn't going to get it done in a certain amount of time, then I'm not going to live with all that discomfort. Why? The discomfort takes me out of effectiveness for God. I'll go to the doctor. Now, you've got Christians out there, oh, no, ain't doing that. No, you go to the doctor, that's just a lack of faith. Well, how much longer are you going to put up with this? Well, I don't know, but I'm standing in faith. You know what? You need to, like, do a checkup here on your faith. Because it doesn't really work like that in the Bible. You know, it's supposed to manifest. Look, Jesus only ministered for 3.5 years. Everybody He ministered to in 3.5 years, guess what? The healing manifested. So let's say that you've waited 3.5 years and it still ain't there. Go to the doctor. Just get checked out. It's not wrong. Here's what's interesting. Oh, it's been a hurting so long. This arm of mine. Whoo, I can barely lift it. I can't do nothing with it. And the other one, why? It's just ugly. And I tell you what, this arm, oh, how long has it been bothering like that? Oh, it's been 5 years, 5 years. Well, why don't you go to the doctor? Oh, no, Brother Martin, I'm living by faith, living by faith. I'm going to be healed. You wait and see. Someday, I'm going to be healed. You just wait. Someday, it's going to be healed. All right. What's that on your face? What do you mean? Got something on the face? No, no, no. I mean, it's like it's got like two round things right in front of your eyes. Oh, those are my glasses. Well, where'd you get the glasses? Oh, I went to the doctor. Well, why'd you do that? Well, because I can't see without them. Well, how long has your vision been impaired? Oh, it's been impaired for 35 years. Well, how many times have you gone to the doctor for glasses? Oh, I go about every 2 years. Well, why? Cause, Brother Martin, I can't see without them. I'd be a danger on the road if I tried to drive without them. Okay, so let me get this straight. You have no problem going to a doctor so that you can have vision that enables you to do whatever vision enables you to do. But you won't go to a doctor for something else. I've got news for you. You're a hypocrite. And you just don't know it. If you're that, oh, my arm, I know it's been 5.5 years. I know it's been 7 years. But someday I'm going to be healed. And you know what? Take those glasses off. Don't you ever put them on again. And don't you ever go to a doctor to get more glasses. Just don't do it. You believe God for the healing of that vision. Now, some people say, Brother Martin, you're just being too hard. No, I'm being too real. Way too real. Listen, guys, I speak to my vision because I don't want to keep wearing glasses. And whenever anything in my body decides it wants to not play fair, I speak to it. I deal with it. But there are times when I've gone to a doctor. Now, you do your own thing if you want. However, there are a lot of Christians that claim they're living by faith. But I'm not so sure they really are, because there seems to be a contradiction in terms when it comes to physical stuff. You ever had a headache? Oh, yeah, headache. Yeah. Well, what do you do? Well, sometimes, you know, I'll take an Advil. Well, what about your arm? You know, that thing's been bothering you for 8 years. Oh, I'm believing God. Well, why don't you believe God for the headache? See this? We create this double standard and don't even think about the fact that we've created a double standard. We just accept that's what you do. But it's not supposed to be like that. It's not wrong to go to a doctor. You remember in the Bible there's a guy named Luke. Remember that? Did you know he was a doctor? God thought so much of a doctor, he let him write scripture. Why, that's just unheard of. And did you know that Luke traveled with the Apostle Paul? Yeah, Luke wrote the book of Luke. Who knew? Luke wrote the book of Acts. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse, I said 1 Peter, didn't I? Chapter 1. How about 1 Peter chapter 2? I think that'll work better. Verse 24. Who his own self, Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. That word healed, it comes from a Greek word that means to heal, cure, restore to bodily health. Because see, some people want to tell you that that word heal is talking about emotional healing. But every time, okay, I might be wrong on this, but I'll say it like this. Almost every time you see this word, and it's the Greek word, eaomai, something like that. Almost every time it is in the New Testament, it's talking about bodily healing, making a reference to the physical well-being and restoration, not the emotional. And besides that, God doesn't heal spiritually. You're born again, recreated spiritually. Now, I understand the emotional healing and so forth, but this is physical healing. Now, go back to Isaiah 53, because this is where Peter got this information. Isaiah 53, it's a prophecy of Jesus. And in verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, I'm not going to go through and break down all the Hebrew words in this, but I'm going to reread verses 4 and 5 with the definitions of Hebrew words. "Surely he hath taken away our maladies, anxieties, calamities, diseases, and sicknesses. He hath used his own strength to perform the labor to bear our anguish, affliction, grief, pains, and sorrows. He was profaned, defiled, and done violence to for our sin, rebellion, apostasy, wickedness, premeditated breaking of God's law, and rejection of God's authority. He was cast down, oppressed, and afflicted to pay the penalty for our perversities, crimes, and depraved actions. The punishment, correction, and discipline for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes he became the physician who mended, cured, healed, and thoroughly made us whole." That's Jesus. How can we say healing's not for today? Now, I don't think you believe that. The problem is, we can become so accustomed to living with a physical something that we accept it as normal life, when it's not supposed to be normal life. Normal life is supposed to be, we live in a decent physical condition, and then when the time comes for us to, you know, go on and be with the Lord, we lay down, we close our eyes, wave goodbye, and pew, off we go. To many people, that sounds like a fairy tale. However, that's happened. Charles Capps, that happened with him. Some of you don't know who he is, but nevertheless, Charles Capps, that happened to him. He knew it was his time to go. He called the family all together and said, "All right, tomorrow I'm going to bed, and that's going to be it." And sure enough, that's what happened. They all said goodbye. He goes to bed, and that's it. Goes on to the Lord. You say, "Well, that's just unbelievable." Oh, please don't use that word. It is believable. Absolutely. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul writes, beginning in verse 22. We have to jump in the middle here, but are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's, you know, the lashes, the 40. Okay, now, what you need to understand is that a lot of people who received the 39 stripes, they died. The first time they ever got it, they died. With the blood loss, the trauma to the body, they died. He says, 5 times. 5 times. That is staggering. How could he survive that? Well, we know the answer. But then thrice was I beaten with rods. There is debate over exactly what that means. Because it can mean that he was tied down and his feet beaten with rods until the bones were broken and then he couldn't walk. But it can also mean a form of Roman torture where they would take rods made from usually a birch tree and just beat the person senseless. But either way, 3 times, and there were people who died from the Roman style of the beating. So 3 times he's beaten. But not only, okay, if it was the Roman style, he survived it. But if it was the foot beating style, guess what? He got healed because he kept going. And then he talks about, you know, once I was stoned, that's over in Acts chapter 14, literally, they killed him. But he got raised alive. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. And he goes on and talks about all these horrible things that happened to him. But in this passage, 5 times he received the 39 lashes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. He was stoned once, but every single time he was healed. If not, how could he go to all these cities? How could he minister? How could he preach? How could he establish these churches? And the whole thing about the lashes on the back, look, guys, after 5 times, one or two things happened. Either his back was unbelievably, horrifically frighteningly disfigured, or even the scarring was healed. One of two things, and I tend to believe the scarring was at least partially healed, because when you've got a bunch of scars, it can be very uncomfortable to move around, lay down, whatever. He was healed over and over and over and over again. He was healed. And somebody would say, well, yeah, but, you know, he was an apostle. Well, you know, you're right. He was an apostle. So you're telling me healing's only for apostles? Well, no, but he had a special calling of God upon his life. And your calling is not special. See, if you don't grab God's vision of you and what he thinks of you, you need to understand your calling is as equally important to God as the calling that was on Paul's life. That's because you have a responsibility that maybe you're not an apostle, but you still have a responsibility. And here we are talking about pressing into revival. My goodness. Do you realize if revival fire starts burning with intensity in here and people, if we have all kinds of people coming in, every one of us in here, my goodness, we've got a role to play. Every single one of you, a role to play. Lives to impact, messages to teach, to pass along to others, all of you, regardless of your age. See, the life of God on the inside of you, I mean, in this song, The Healer, it says, the same power that conquered the grave lives in me, lives in me. The same power that conquered the grave. That means life. Now, if that life can conquer the grave, do you not think that life can conquer any kind of a physical something that's attacking your body? Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's the Word of God. Now, every one of us in here, honestly, from this day forward, if you don't guard your heart from what you say concerning your physical condition, then quite frankly, you deserve every affliction that you encounter. Because if you hear these messages over and over again and you keep fussing about your body, you're going to get it. You reap what you sow. You know, okay, let's think of it this way. If I'm around you and you start talking, oh, it hurt. I'm not talking about doctor told me such and such, and you know, I'm believing God for that healing to manifest. All right, well, praise God. I'm going to be right there with you, believe in God. But I'm talking about the, oh, well, I tell you what, I went to the doctor and he's telling me, and then wana, 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 wana. And you're just going on about it, and it's like you forgot who God is. You know, don't be surprised if I look at you and say something like, be it unto you according to your confession. And you might get mad at me, but think about it. Do you really want to live in a body that's giving you fits? Speak it. What do you want? I want to be healed. All right. Listen up. If I were you, I'd write this down. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 105, verse 37. Psalm 107, verse 20. 1 Peter 2, 24. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5. Now, every one of those, you should turn those into, you ought to get those sown so deeply into you, those are what comes out of your mouth. And you say, well, Brother Martin, could you give them to me again? Could you give them to me again? Yeah, sure. Listen to the recording. Because it's there. Well, what about the way that you gave all those definitions for Isaiah 53? Give me a copy of that. Listen to the recording and write it down. Oh, Brother Martin, you don't get it. That means I have to do something. I want you to do it for me. I already did, and I recorded it. Now, go back and listen to it and write it down. See, if Satan can't kill you, then he definitely wants to neutralize you. And if he can neutralize you through physical stuff, he'll do it. And sometimes it's not even his body. I mean, it's not even him doing it to your body. Sometimes it's just Genesis 3. Well, still, Jesus conquered Genesis 3. Now, these bodies will be glorified. I know that. But until then, we can win the war. We can just keep speaking, keep declaring. When you wake up in the morning and it's hurting again, instead of proclaiming the pain, talk to it. Deal with it. Attack it with the Word. And don't give up. Don't be weary in the well-doing. We need to be healed for revival. Does that mean that we're going to, you know, enter a marathon? No. No. Does that mean that we're going to end up with these, you know, chiseled bodies and all? You mean like mine? Well, no. No. I dropped my chisel a long time ago. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means we're going to be healed. We're going to be healed. So guys, listen. Healing belongs to us. Jesus paid a price to make it available. God's in His Word to make it available. Let's not ignore this. Let's stay focused on this. And let's declare what God has given to us, our healing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, listen, we're going to start praying, and then we'll close off here in just a little bit.